Blog Talk Radio.
May there be peace and love and perfection throughout all creation, O God. May there be peace and love and perfection throughout all creation, O God. May there be peace and love and perfection throughout all creation, O God.
Welcome to another episode of African Aramean Scriptures. This is Charles Oz Harif Arlawinza, better known as Charles Williams on Facebook and other places. Tonight we have an interesting collection of terms we're going to discuss. The terms are Hebrew terms for the words wife, concubine, and handmaid. All three of these terms are chosen because of their relationship to a man household. That is, how he relates to these three ranks of women. Wife, including the mother and the women who he may possibly be engaged in Congress with. Okay, the term for the word translated as wife are relative terms, a few terms. The main one that people see, we see most commonly when we Aramaic text of the Hebrew scriptures, Israelite scriptures rather, is Isha. Rabbinic pronunciation is Isha. And it's the parent root for these all terms like Anash, Nasha, and Aset, Isha. They all have this parent root, Aleph Shin, which is the word for fire. Parent root in here is it carries a special meaning, which we'll get to near the end of this section on the term for wife. But the wife is obviously like the husband, because the husband is the word is out of ocean, and the same root in it, fire as well. But the thing you can see, that woman, the wife is just like her husband. She carries a flame for the man chosen for her by her creators. The term, ironically, the term that Ashet, Aleph Shin Tau, is the same word, exact same word, for the Egyptian deity Aset, or people call Isis, and the wife of Haru, Heru. So it's so ancient that it is the word for the woman or the wife. But in Hebrew and Aramaic, we use the aset is used in a construct case when you say wife of David, you say aset David. Construct two nouns back to back, and they both indicate, and at least the aset is indicating being in possession by the proper noun. Okay, and however, this is the exact term. I did mention that, right, for Isis aset. So we'll see the relationship. Matter of fact, I'll do a little short breakdown on the term. Aleph symbolizes strength. The shin, according to the pictographic nature of these letters, which we discussed early on, and that's how we do in this program. We define a term, break down the pictographic nature of each symbol in syntax. And the shin designates teeth. And the concept of devouring or consuming. The hay signifies being, seeing, or a window, which is still being a transparency, being able to. So, the big idea of the wife is for you to behold or to see the fiery one. The woman has this fire that must be, the man must quench. She must be able to, she must hold that flame for the man. And he must be able to feed and soothe her, feed her fire, keep her passion alive. And at the same, and then after he keeps her passion sustained, he is to quench that passion with the waters of fulfillment. But the word water, mayim, is masculine. So we go back and forth. We know water can sometimes signify femininity, sometimes signify masculinity. Like the words for sky is masculine, and adama, earth, is feminine. So it's ancient. It's very ancient language. Like these concepts have a gender specific. We'll take a brief break for a moment and let you all meditate on that. And check the links out that are on the show, on the page for this episode, and perhaps you can look at that for a moment. The hyperlink. All right. Hope y'all had a chance to check those sources and reflect on the information presented. The next term is often overlooked in the Hebraic context. It is translated into English, concubine. Concubine really is a Latin word. So a lot of people, when they're trying to describe concubinage, rightfully so, that they would look at the Latin word from where it, you know, is, has its origin, but they don't look at, it's trying to understand the ancient Hebrew or African, particular African society, the way they practice this, their grades, I would say grades of marriage. They don't really look at it and examine it as it was presented by the Hebrew Israelite people or this in the surrounding nations. Okay, the word for concubine is pilegesh. That's the word, the term you'd see in the mainly the Hebrew text of the Bible, and used 37 times, approximately. It's suspected to have a Hittite root. That means Canaanite, because Hebrew, Aramaic, and Canaanite are pretty much all varying dialects of one language. And one of the few places you can find it is Genesis 25, verse 6, 36, 36 chapter of Genesis, verse 22, and Judges, chapter 8, verse 31. Now, term pilgesh, was understood to be a contraction of the Aramaic phrase pileg asha. Now, pileg is a term which means to split into halves. Okay, split in two, to divide into two. And asha, which is the first word we defined above earlier. Term, the one to behold of the flame, is translated as wife. So, pileg asha is literally the half wife, and which means she has a lower rank, and which is related to how she was acquired. Now, a little more details, like in the Israelite culture, men commonly acknowledge their concubines as wives. They had, I mean, we understand this concubine stands a Roman term, so it's very much attached to Roman concepts when we think about this. Well, let me say this half wife. I'm gonna say half wife here to disconnect from the Latin denotation. This half-wife is legitimate wife. She's not considered illegitimate like in the Roman and the Greek and Grecian societies or even Japanese. She has the rights and privileges of a wife. The difference, principal difference is she was not bought from the father with a dowry. He did not have to pay. Some of these women were maybe even paid to acquire by the father. Father, and he paid a man to take the daughter, make her a wife and a mother, because this is a society that highly regarded motherhood and wife. So, it's totally alien from the way Western people see these kinds of relations. It would be considered cruel to deprive a woman of a opportunity to cohabit and have the attachment, the familial attachment to a man recognized by society and being in the position to bear children, and then, like, you know, for that, for her husband. Okay? Now, this half-wife, in Israelite culture, Yisraeli culture, and she was a respected woman. And she and the wives respected the concubine. And this is a dynamic where the half wife. The wife respected the half wife. But in our culture, we still, and has taught us to treat and use different terms like mistress. Because this is how the Europeans relate to the half wife in society. And it's not across the board, it just depends upon the way they choose to, based upon, you know, I guess, power and their affections or lacking thereof for that woman and her and their offspring through her. In the Levitical code, the sexual intercourse between a man and the wife, different man, it was a capital punishment case. But here in some of the references, they postulate that it was not the case between a man and a half wife. But however, I'm going to say there is no, there are some sources and references where men did have relations with the half wives of other men. And they were not immediately executed. So I don't know if that was because of political reasons, or I wouldn't say that it's not because it's illegal. Because as some of these sources suspect, because King David, he had relations with a married woman, and he was not executed for crime. So we can let that particular argument that these electric chroniclers, commentators would say, I had to let that go. Other issues that, see, like I was saying earlier, that the highest blessing was for any woman was to be able to have many children and be recognized by the family, her own included, for having achieved this status, being able to contribute her body for the building of the nation. Which is what really getting married and having babies is really about. It's about continuance, and which hopefully we will begin to regain this type of status and honor and dignity to childbearing and marriage, which is I believe persons on the rise. Okay. Now, the word peleg is, I guess you can find any of you have the ancient Hebrew lexicon of the Bible. It is lexical number 2606, and it's a noun, and it's described, and it's and the definition they have into this division within the family or house. And that division, I guess, when you draw a family tree and a man has different wives, there's a division between the offspring of one wife and offspring of another because they have a different parentage. Okay? So that being the basis, not that the family's going to break up and going to be some kind of big falling out. Now, our next term is the handmaid, translated handmaid. And it is shapcha. It has the root ach, peshet, which is the triliteral root shapcha is the root for the word mishpacha, and mishpacha is the word translated as clan. Now, the word for this word shafka, which is the word translated as handmaid, is Strong number 8197, and They also translate it as bond woman or female servant in your English language Bibles. And that's a problem because it is not an accurate translation. As I mentioned moments ago, as this is the root word, or this word has a root word for family. That's how clan, rather. And it's my opinion, translators of English Bibles distranslated this term. I said distranslated because I believe it was intentional. They translated as female servant, but it should be translated as kinswoman, because this woman whom we see, like in the Hebrew text, that are taken as handmaids and by the wife to attend to them, and they were usually later given to the husband as additional wives or additional half wives. And this is derived on that root word, pach, pei, chet, is ancient Hebrew lexicon of the Bible, index number 1376. And that root is often is translated as blowing, bellows, and etc. Basically dealing with actions of the mouth. The letter pay, or the pictogram for the letter pay, is a pictogram of a mouth or opening. Back to the word patah. You hear that people in Egyptology or Kemetology circles, they talk about patah. Patah it means opener. And you see that term. It's also in the Hebrew text in the Bible. Jupiter. It's about opening up revelation, wisdom, and so forth. But anyway, and the second letter in this parent root is a chet. And the chet is a pictogram of a fence or a barrier. So the parent root for this word, kinswoman, is pach. And it basically informs us that this pach is a opening in the barrier for the actions of the mouth. So that means when you speak in a way to a person who you care about, who you're concerned to, you basically let them inside. You let them in on mysteries, and you're careful with them about the deliverance of your feelings. Basically, you communicate with them in a special way. And say, look at the action of the mouth, that we breathe on or speak carefully or sensitively with those of our close relations. And so that's the great mystery of the term that's translated as handmaid, is that she's a close woman. She's in the family. There's an opening made for her to come in and to be of service and be able to express her talents and fulfill her destiny with the group, even though she was not bought with a dowry or what have you. She was brought along and entered into the covenant with the man as a agent of the wife. She is an agent whose primary loyalty is to the wife, and they are kinswomen. They are related. They are either cousins or nieces or something of that stature, and there are examples in the Bible, plenty of them. You just go and look for the term for handswoman, because I'm sure many of you won't be reading the Hebrew text and into it, and you'll see how these women are related to these other women, and then in turn connect themselves to the man by way of the covenant sexual relationship. And that's the nature of the building of the family and preservation. And a handwoman, this kinswoman does not have to marry that man, but if she preserves her chastity and she's basically holding out for that man, her kinswoman, who is the wife of the man or the husband man, she will say, okay, well, I see you're not interested in any of the other men in the community, and she shares her husband with her kinswoman. Say, hey, what you getting? And then she would be a half white because the man, he had to pay more money, he had to pay money for the wife, and he basically got an option with the other wife as a part of the deal. So that's a pretty good deal, a bargain that for a man to have, more women to want to build his house. Next week we will discuss more interesting terms. I can't think of what they are right now because I've been working on so many titles, so many subjects, and I know we're going to do the term whore and chastity pretty soon. And that's going to be a real big eye-opener, or ear-opener, rather. And we can look forward to that. And this concludes our discourse on the terms wife, concubine, and handmaid on African Aramean scriptures. If you want more information about our researches, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/ African Aramean Scriptures, or you can just type in African Aramean Scriptures Project, and it's African with a K, and you can come on over, and I think the site is closed, so you may be able to see some posts. Can't recall how that works right now. But, all right, well, speak, and y'all have a good week. Shavua Tov.